Someone wrote a little note asking for comments concerning the world leaders. Preachers, they make predictions and they prophesy things and they teach things, and of course everything that they predict, everything they prophesy, everything they teach, with all of this, they're what the world calls under the guns, because they are saying these things in the presence of thousands of people, and sometimes tens of thousands of people hear these things, and that means with all of those minds and minds of diversity that they're really scrutinized, and there's so many people that's so ready to criticize and say things till it keeps them in a precarious place. That is to say that so many minds are given to Satan that they are trying their very best, that is Satan is, through these minds to overthrow the ministry. And like Jesus in his day, many times they would come to Jesus and say things, and he would say, "Why tempt thou me, ye hypocrite?" Because he knew what they were after. And we have people like that are always listening. They come for no other purpose. And we have people that come around even in our conversations with the brethren. We have people that come around even out of other states that brings little tape recorders so they can record it to make sure, you know, that if we say anything in a derogative way or something that they can trap us in, always trying to trap Jesus in his words. It's Satan the same today, knowing that it's the Lord that's speaking. They want to take these things and enlarge upon them. It doesn't matter. We keep preaching. We keep saying things. We keep looking to the Lord of heaven, and he always stands with us. Speaking of the things that the newspapers are carrying, Brother Mike Bradley over the evening called our minds to some things, and I noticed the news headings, and they're bringing to pass some of the predictions that we made. Things are coming to pass. We had made the statement that eventually Mr. Gorbachev and the Pope of Rome would come together, which the papers carry their pictures together today, and it tells how they've come together. We've said this a long time back. And that when this would happen, that the Pope and Mr. Gorbachev would become friends, get together, and it would have to do with the bare fetus of the beast carrying the great whore, that Russia would carry the Catholic religion. Whereas it come to pass, it's in the paper today. And we also made the statement when Mr. Gorbachev seems so far from anything as to relation with the United States or anything else as to Christianity, we said they will discover that Mr. Gorbachev is religious and he favors Christianity. And then shortly after that, it came to pass that the news media quizzed him and found out that he had been baptized, his wife had been baptized. And then we said after that, we went into Russia having given out the tracts like we did, my wife and I, and being apprehended of them and yet escaping by the hand of the Lord, that would signify that now the Iron Curtain would be broken down. And it would have to do with the resurrection of the dead, and that these other walls would be broken down as to the walls between East and West Germany and the different things, and as to the bamboo curtain being penetrated and whatever. Then we also said that in this, you know, it would bring on a victory for the Lord to rise, the saints to rise and take the kingdoms of this world and possess them forever and ever. And that at this point, the saints of God had been worn out, and now the saints would all of a sudden rise. And then we said that when these things started coming to pass, as to the walls falling and the different things, that I said, this is not democracy doing this. It is Christianity doing this. Whereas the papers again confirmed that today when the Pope and Mr. Gorbachev came together, and Mr. Gorbachev not only has favored Christianity, but he had vowed, the paper stated today that he had vowed religious freedom. Standing there before the Pope, perhaps getting the blessing of the Pope, he had vowed religious freedom. So then Russia has their religious freedom, and Christianity has again triumphed and broken down the walls of resistance. When they came out from Germany, they were singing, "This is the day the Lord has made." The Czechoslovakia incident, whatever it was, the paper stated that they were praising God. And I'd also made the statement that Mr. Gorbachev's name having to do with Michael, that I was telling someone it had to do with the being caught up to the throne as to him coming into the legislative powers of Russia, and it would have to do with the ousting of the Red Dragon, which was communism, that he wouldn't favor that. He'd set up his own religion, which, of course, he has done that. Being caught up and then the Pope coming to him indicates the catching up to the throne. And so then he has not favored communism to the extent that he has allowed the walls to be broken down and the people to be free from those walls. And then all of a sudden, as to say, communism is gone, the Red Dragon is gone to that extent. And he is favoring Christianity. And then we also stated that these things come into pass, that all of the religious bodies of the world would come together, and we said prior to this that religion would unite with politics, and it would indicate the spirit and the body coming together, the resurrection from the dead when all of these things happen. So there's the picture on the face of the paper today. It says the Pope and Gorbachev coming together, which indicates the uniting of religion and government. And we said at this time that would happen. And then we said the heads would come together, that out of the Mediterranean Sea, which is referred to as the Great Sea, there would come this beast. We had spoken of it while we were over there in the Holy Land, pointing this out to some of our people, that out of that sea, as we pointed, shall come the beast. And I said, what it will have to do with is those foreign nations gathering together, and then as they're coming politically out of this thing to surround Israel. And of course, Gorbachev, all of a sudden, and Mr. Bush is coming together right there in the Mediterranean Sea, right there at the Holy Land. And an unusual way, they're going to meet on the ships right there in the water. So if those two heads come together and the Pope comes together, that's the Trinity coming together. And in the coming together of these things, the Bible said, and who can make war with him? And you ask yourself the question, if Russia, America comes together with the papacy of Rome, who drawed 1 million people not too long ago and 600,000 not too long ago to his meeting, who's going to be able to stand before this trinity of those things? And then again, it's pointing out as to the three unclean spirits like frogs that came out of their mouth to gather together all the nations of the world together for the great battle of Armageddon. That is to say, those spirits of political means is going to cause the constitution of the political powers that will bring one great army as a force, one great leader. It will end in one great leader. And like it was said, I believe they asked Mr. Bush something about him and Gorbachev, and he said, me and Mr. Gorbachev see eye to eye, which means that two cannot walk together lest they be agreed. So it's very obvious that it is working out, like we said, that be an interwoven or an intermingling thing is coming together with the religious activities and the political activities, and it would be no longer a democracy or a communism or anything else, as to one centralized effort of any political power that we have today. But it would come to pass that it would be an interwoven thing, and then it would be a government that would be diverse from all the rest. The Bible speaks of Antichrist, whereas it says, and the worship of this Antichrist, his religion, was diverse from all the others. It was a strange God that he worshiped, which we know is going to be the God of power, monetary value, political power, and all these things. So it's shaping up to bring about what we call the abomination of desolation. As the Bible said, when you see the cities of Jerusalem compassed about with armies, to know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And all of a sudden, we buy property over in Israel, or that is, property is given to us there in and behind the walls, these great walls, whereas, as Brother Millad said the other night, this is now under impossible to get anything for sale back there. But somehow God has given it into our hands with the building and whatever. And at this time, it has to do with Christianity penetrating the walls. Never before has this been. They talk like this is the first time that Christianity will have ever gone out from behind these walls as such as today. And with this, the sounding of the last trumpet, the finishing of the mysteries, the penetrating of the walls, seven times we've been into Israel and the walls are crumbling down as we said that they would do. And then having to do with the Joshua as to crossing over into Canaan, now that is to say, crossing over the walls of resistance as to intellectual theory, or getting beyond the ideology of the shifting sands of theology that man has founded his life upon or has accepted for his principles of life. So then we find out that the things are crumbling down and the Lord is penetrating, and strangely enough, it's called the City of David. It's called the City of David, the City of the Great King, and inside of there is the Mount Zion. And inside of there is the Street Dolorosa, where Jesus dragged his cross. And inside of there is the Temple Mount, where the old temple is, and the site of that the new temple is going to be built upon. And inside of there is Mount Moriah, the rock that is beneath the dome of the Mosque of Omar, which is called Mount Moriah, where Abraham offered his son. So then we see all these things coming to pass, and right near there is the gates, the eastern gates that must be rent, which I believe will open when Jesus sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives. The Bible speaks of an earthquake that will take place, and the mountains shall be rent in twain. And I believe in this earthquake, as to the rending in the twain, that that earthquake is what's going to open those eastern gates, because the eastern gates is right nearby. And in this, God will do away with that Mosque of Omar. And the Lord will come right in through those eastern gates as he did on Palm Sunday when he rode the little ass into the gates. And after that, the gates having been shut, especially since about 1500 as to the Turk's days. But we find that all of this is taking place. And strangely enough, that all of this is taking place right at the very time that the papacy is coming together with Russia. The Bible speaks of the king of the north coming and destroying. And strangely enough, it's happening right at Christmas time, having to do with the birth of the child and as to Christ triumphantly going in, and that this coming of Revelation is the coming of Christ as to the spiritual perspective, him going in and coming in to the throne, or the city of the throne, to reign 1,000 years, to indicate the end of the Gentile age as to the secret work of God, and then to bring in the redemption of the body, or to confer it over as to the mantle to the Jews, as to bring the Jew nation into power that will make the blood run to the horse's bridle during the battle of the Armageddon. Well, anyway, we could go on and on with many things that we've said, predicted, and watched come to pass down through the years so precisely, and at the very time that we said that they would come to pass. So we see that these things are happening here in the end of the world. And as it was said, that when the people was over in Jerusalem right there at the birth site, they pledged the money for the purchase of the land over in Israel, which again indicated the birth of the child. And now it being Christmas time right here this time, as to the time that Brother Branham went out, where we spoke of him dying just before Christmas Day, and the rearrangements and the shifting of the many things concerning Arizona and whatever would happen. All of a sudden now here we are, and we see this happening right here at the Christmas season, which again denotes the birth of the child, as of the spiritual perspective being Christ coming in triumphantly into that city of the sealed walls. So, many other things we could say, but somebody asked us to comment or that's briefly say something about what is happening right now. And folks, that's in essence, in kind of a compact way, what is taking place right now. We can say many things about it, but I think you understand that this is the end of the world. I think most of us understand that pretty well lets us know that the end of the world is here. I think we're just going to go right on to the Word of the Lord tonight. Talk about the Word of the Lord a little. I It's necessary that we get something on the films for them that are without. Someone said the other day that this was coming in real good in New York, and I hope that we're saying some things that might be beneficial to them that are listening, whatever it might be. Well, I trust everybody's ready to go to heaven. If you're ready to go to heaven, let me see your hand. Anybody confirmed their reservations lately? Make sure you hadn't had anything happen. All right. Somebody said one time, if you're making up a trip right now, you know they want to wait just a little while. But Bible said, in the hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh, and any time he could come. I ain't doing a very good job on mine, but I'm still trying and pleading for mercy as I go. You know that God will give me mercy in my stumblings and staggerings, because I sincerely am trying. All right, let's turn over to chapter 14. Let's take a look at this chapter, and maybe the Lord will say something to us or give us something that might help us a little bit. Said, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of a fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night to worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. This is chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. You know, this is something that it is a little bit baffling if you don't have the understanding to it. You'll hear me. I'll say something about Mount Zion. Then the next thing you'll hear me say something about Mount Zion. It's a little bit baffling, and maybe we'll get a chance to kind of explain what we understand of it. But it emphatically states that I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, Zion. And with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And yet in the Old Testament speaks of God calling Israel as to Mount Zion and pleading with Mount Zion. Which mountain answers back to that that's without Jerusalem, like Mount Hermon. Well, the Bible speaks of the dew of that mountain. You know, we've been up on it. It's a skiing resort now, and it's really something to see. But nevertheless, it emphatically states here Mount Zion, Zion. And I told you that Mount Zion is within the gates of the old city, right at the corner where the tomb of David is. So some of you perhaps have been there to the tomb site. But the thing that is outstanding here is that it says 144,000 is gathered there. And then if you'll notice that it's over here in the earlier part of the book of Revelation that it speaks of these, that's 144,000. It tells that there was numbered and sealed 144,000. So when I look here in Revelation 14 as the sea Mount Zion, then I look in Revelation 7, I see that they coincide to the extent that it's in Revelation 7 that the angels are holding back the four winds of the earth to seal the 144,000. And Revelation 14, that they're caught up to Mount Zion as the Lamb himself sets his feet upon Mount Zion. See, so again, we're right back to where we speak of the Mount of Olives, which is just outside of the city, right across from Mount Zion. Here he sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives cleaves in half, and the water goes forth down to the Dead Sea to bring the life into it. So then we see that he will go over to Mount Zion because it has to do with what the Bible says as to 144,000. But it also indicates that he will go forth to Mount Zion. But nevertheless, let's stay with our thoughts that we can understand tonight. See, there is 144,000. When does this happen as concerning the 144,000? If you'll notice, it's in Revelation 12 that there is a battle, a war in heaven. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon having 7 head and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast him to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth the man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place,
where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth waters of flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth hath the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And in the 13th chapter it says that I saw, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seed and great authority. Then he goes on to say, I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindred and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Reading quite a bit of that.
Now notice it said here, Revelation chapter 11, it is in the 15th verse, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. I said something not too long ago about the excommunication as to communism being rejected. Communism being rejected by the United Nations, and that with that the old dragon, it would signify the casting out of the old dragon, and then things would start shaping up in the earth. And sure enough, all of a sudden, Bush rises up, and he strikes at the dragon, that is to say, the communist nation. He struck at the communist nation as to the dragon, in that China is the communist nation. He struck at it and boycotted against China because of what China did in the rising up. Well, that fits real good, because the old legend is that George killed the dragon. And him coming in right at that time, it was just right for him to rise up and strike at the dragon. And of course, in his striking at it, it really killed the effects and influence of it, in that the nations boycotted with Mr. Bush, and they put the thing to silence until one of their great leaders stepped down and things began to take place. Because if you recall, when Mr. Bush struck and this great leader stepped down, everything began to boomerang right around. All of a sudden it hit Germany and the communistic power failed and they stepped down. Then it hit Czechoslovakia, it hit Russia, and the leaders began to step down, and these things began to take a change, in that the dragon was cast out, as to say this thing called communism, or the red dragon, or the strength of that. It was just at that time that Mr. Gorbachev was getting something together with China to really strengthen his kingdom. But all of a sudden things begin to happen. Well, that is to say, it appeared to be that he was strengthening what would be communism. But really that wasn't it at all, because it's to work different from that. It's to become an interwoven thing, and then it is to intermingle with democracy and whatever, just like I said, that it would come together, intermingle. Now Mr. Bush, and here is Mr. Gorbachev coming together. And then I said it would intermingle with religion, and here is the Mr. Gorbachev, Mr. Bush, and the Pope all of a sudden becoming one unit. So it was to become an interwoven thing of a religiously political thing that would govern the world. Or we can say it was as to sports, as to government, as to religion. So it is coming together as the 1, 2, 3, because we said that the body of this beast would be composed of, as to the leopard that Daniel saw, as to the lion that Daniel saw, as to the bear that Daniel saw. And in the day that Daniel saw the vision, it was said to Daniel, it said, seal up the vision, for it's not for your time, Daniel. Seal it up until the end time, and then it will speak. And so then John comes along at the end time. He sees the same vision of the lion, of the leopard, and of the bear. When he sees it, it is a constitution of the beast, which very evidently indicates to us that there's going to be a political power, there's going to be a religious power, and there is going to be a power from sports that are going to come together. These things, as to a recreational thing, as we use the terms, will come together. These are the three things that man thrives off of, is a religious conviction as to the papacy thing of smoothing over the conscience and making them to feel that everything is all right between them and God. They must have that for survival. Even in the days of Alexander the Great, the reason he was such a mighty conqueror and conquered everything was because of a religious conviction as to the Hellenistic religion. And then there's another one that was to come together. That was a political power. Man must thrive off of political powers because he cannot continue unless he has some kind of systematic order of life, which is a government. And then the other thing relates to sports. You know, it goes back to the recreational side of it. He must have a recreational side of it. See, after the athletic world, there must be something that's put together. See, this must come together as a constitution of 1, 2, 3. And you remember I made the statement that when they would not open the iron curtain for anything, they opened it for sports. See, so now it has been opened for sports. Now it has been opened for political negotiation. And now it has been opened for religion. And all three of these things are constituting themselves to come together. Remember that now, there is no other religion in the world that will fit this occasion as to this age except the Catholic religion, because it is the only religion that will give its blessings upon you if you live like the devil. And I don't mean that wrong. You forgive me if that sounds anyway out of order, because it is a true fact. It is the only religion that will give its blessings upon people that can live like the devil or do the things in the world. That you can just do anything you want to, and the priests will pray it away. They'll pray it away, or they'll buy you out of purgatory, or whatever they can do. They'll do these things, which is a devilish thing. And the Bible speaks of this being the mother of harlots. And all of these other religions or sect of religions has come out of this during the past few years, as to say decades or whatever it might be, that they are daughters of the great Hoa, and they're going to reunite with the great Hoa, and all of the political powers of the world, as we've spoken of it, will come under the control of the mother harlot. And in this, the beast will constitute the body that will carry this great Hoa. Oh, that is to say, people who are not born again, that are not predestinated as the children of light, will automatically be the beastly members that will come together in these three confederated things that will be the organized body that will carry this religious thing of the great Hoa, or believe in that kind of things as to the blessings of the Catholic Church, and live like the devil while they're getting the blessings. They'll constitute it, because if they're not sons and daughters of God, they will not seek true holiness, and they will not seek the spirit of holiness, and they will not seek the ways of God. Therefore, they'll constitute this great body of the beast that will accept that as one, as a unanimous thing as to religion. So we see that this thing is happening. Already it's coming together. Everything is shaping up for it. And we see the constitution of it with Mr. Bush, with Russia, and with the Catholic religion. Now, someone would say, well, how do you think that thing fits together there, Brother Pike? Because it is the political powers, we say, as the United States. No, it is the political powers of the old beast, which is the communistic way of life as to all things common. It's got to be doctored up a little bit, changed around a little bit, drop a little bit of this and there as to the seasoning, put a little democracy in it and a little religion in it, and all of a sudden it'll come out just right. See, and let them all become interwoven. It's bringing them out of this place over here where they've been sealed in with the wall as to the division between East and West Germany. Bring those out that are communistically indoctrinated. Bring those out that are democratically indoctrinated. And bring those out that are religiously indoctrinated. Put them all together and shake them up, you know, and you got whatever you want. All right, you say, what do you want? Well, people want the devil. Like somebody said not too long ago, I brought it out here, one of the leading men of the world made the statement, said that they were ready for the world leader. They didn't care if it was the devil himself, as long as he could make things go right. And there's only one that can make things go right for the world, and that is the devil himself. He loved the things that be of the flesh. He loved the things that of reveling and drinking and frolic and passions and gullible desires of the flesh. He definitely loved the things that be of the flesh. And since he does, he savors those things. And since he does, then that means that he is the head of the beast. That is to say, the mind of the beast. He is a spiritual invisible force. Since he is the mind of the beast, the stimulation of the beast. All of his inspirations and stimulations come from things like ball games and fighting and drinking and frolic and passions and all these other things. That's his inspiration. He gives those inspirations. There's an inspiration of God that comes from the mind of Christ and the Holy Spirit, which stimulates the spirit unto holiness, unto godliness, unto prayer, unto the delight of heavenly things. It creates a heavenly hunger, a heavenly desire, a heavenly conversation. And then there are those things that be of Satan that stimulates the flesh, causes the flesh to be excited in every way to keep life going in the natural. Well, anyway, these things are beginning to boycott. They're beginning to come together. And as I say, you would say, well, the political power will be from America. But that's where you're wrong. The political power will be from Russia. And then the religious power will be from the papacy of Rome. And then what will come from America? The sports. The power of sports. America is not religion. It's just like George Bush here just a few days back when they were getting ready for the great turnabout as to the sports. And here he was picking up a baseball and here he throws it. The president, he throws the first ball, you know, or he gets everything underway. All with America, it's sports. That's all it is. It's that old Greek thing where sports come from. The same thing that Daniel saw in his day. It's the sports. And so then they're going to constitute this great body. When they come together with this great body, they're going to see eye to eye. And the Bible said they cannot walk together unless they be of the same mind. So they're going to see eye to eye. So they're coming together right now. What does that mean? That means that it's the end of the world. It's again that trinity that we spoke of the unclean spirits like frogs coming out. Now, all of these coming together in one unit. They're coming together in one unit. And what was that for when it spoke of these three unclean spirits? What was this for? The Bible said that they would work miracles and they would go forth into all the earth to gather all humanity to the great battle of this Armageddon. That is to say, with the mind, with the understanding, with the things, with the ability that they have as to this miraculous age, they have the ability from one ends of the earth to the other ends of the earth to gather together all of the forces into one to make them that great body that will gather against Jerusalem to bring on the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And that means that if we're that close, we're there in the end of the world. That means that the sealing of the 144,000 is now at hand. It is now at hand that God is ready to seal the 144,000. And if that is true, that means the end of the Gentiles are at hand. We had made the statement that all the great lights of religion would fall. They would go out. There'd be nothing left. But the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is called his star, or in the darkest part of the night, that this would appear. And sure enough, as the darkest part of the night right now, it's beginning to appear. All of the other lights are gone out. And now the revelation of Jesus Christ, of the revealing of the coming of the Son of God, is at hand. All of the other celebrities have been manifested. Elvis the Great, all of the political powers, the great presidents, all of these powers have begun to shine down through the years from a number of years ago. And now they're gone out, and nothing's left to shine but Jesus Christ Himself. As the songwriter said, and He shall outshine them all. So it's right there at that time when this great, wonderful light is beginning to reveal itself, and with the brightness of His coming, it is to destroy all other minds and doctrines and understandings and powers within the human body. It is causing them to completely be eradicated, to dissipate. And this great, wonderful light is overwhelming to anything concerning religion, concerning politics, or concerning education. It's just swallowing it up. And then, of course, the other night we spoke to you about this great image, how that the head was in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the feet was over here in our day, and how that the little stone hewed out of the mountain related back to Israel, and these great, strong, impregnable walls that we're going to penetrate as to what we're doing for Christ and what it had to do with as to the ending of the days of the Gentiles and going back to the Jews. So then the religious revival is over. The religious day is over. They can do all they want to, from peddle shoestrings to holy water, whether it's on TV or set up tents or whatever, but the days of the religious revival is over and gone. And people are set in their ways, and it doesn't matter how many protracted meetings they have or how many religious activities they have. The people will come out and be religious and refresh themselves in religion because the blood is still on the throne. But after this, all of a sudden, it's just going to fade away. And they're going to ride back to the hog pens of the world. See if they can come in and out of the place that's the holy place that David spoke of. He said, I saw them come to the church or to the holy place, but I saw them go back and I saw them turned into hell. He saw the multitudes turned into hell because the Lord said, in all nations that forget me, I'll tear you into pieces and I'll turn you into hell. So then it's very obvious that people will come and go and religion will get greater and greater. But the thing is, people won't get any better. The Bible said wicked men shall wax worse and worse. It says deceiving and being deceived. It is a true fact that in the latter times, in the last days, the Bible said the house of God shall be established, and all of the nations shall flow unto it, where that shall be. Even the coming of the millennium, the great thing of God will be established, and all nations will be drawn unto it. And the Bible said that out of all nations, if anybody refuses to come up to Jerusalem and worship at Jerusalem, that God will let there be no rain upon their crops. And then at the end of this great, wonderful regime, the Bible said Satan, who hath been bound for 1,000 years, shall be loosed from his prison. He shall come upon the earth, and as he comes up upon the earth, he will gather together the seed of Gog and Magog that's like the sands of the seashore. And then together they will encompass that great throne there in Jerusalem. And then God will bring fire down out of heaven and devour them. So we can see everything is falling into place toward the end time. The dragon typically is being overthrown. And Mr. Bush has to do with that. In that he has to do with the overthrowing of the dragon. Then his name having to do with Bush is that which burned in the days of Moses. And yet it didn't go out. It was a perfect thing because he was allied with Mr. Reagan. And we spoke of the Star War and the child being caught to the throne, ruling with the rod of iron as to his birth, and Mr. Reagan coming, having to do with the end of the world when he made the statement, I feel like that the end of the world has come, the world has gone out, and I'm come in. And when, rather than giving him 70 candles as to that of coming out of Babylon, they gave him one candle as to represent the birth of that child. And then they brought to him this, you remember Brother Branham speaking of something he wished that people could see concerning the movie of Moses, which I don't agree with, but nevertheless, that's what he said, and he had his reasons for it. But nevertheless, out of that movie, they brought to Mr. Reagan this rod that Moses had.
This thing that he delivered Israel with, they brought it to Mr. Reagan. The man that starred in that show, in that Mr. Reagan perhaps was a friend of his from what I understand, and being a movie star also. And they spoke of his wife, how that she was turning Washington into Hollywood, as you would say, with her decorations, whatever. But anyway, here comes that rod. See, and Mr. Bush is there all the time because he is the vice president. Having gone through about 4 years there, and now he has a chance to go through another 4 years, which would be an 8-year term, what? About like it was with Mr. Roosevelt or whatever. He'll go through many, many years as to the White House, as to being the vice president, and then coming in again to be president. What about 12 years? Whatever it is, it all points to one thing, and that is the coming in of the revelation or the revealing of the Son of God. And that Mr. Reagan, while he was in there, he emphatically stated that as goes Israel, so goes America. So then we can see a lot of things here, and it would take hours and hours just to elaborate on different branches of our thought. But there's one thing that we do know, that it says here, in the days of the voice of the finishing of the mysteries, that it was at that time that the declaration would be given that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. And I remind you again that if you look on your flag, when the Lord posted that numbers of years ago and it began to fly, it states, emphatically states on there, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. We have a king, and we are a nation, a peculiar people, a nation that of good works. It, again, I remind you, it was over in Eden when we sent the flag to Mr. Reagan, and Mr. Reagan accepted our flag. And after that he accepted our flag, it was then that they began to burn the American flag and begin to count it as something that was unholy or something they despised as in the other nations. They had a great thing going about this because it had to do, as we say, with old glory. And the Bible said of that which was in the veil, that glory that was veiled by the veil which was over Moses' face had no glory as being compared to this glory as the unveiled glory, when we say the rent veil or the revealing of Jesus Christ Himself as to this glory of the latter house. A former house is of that of Washington, of those that settled this nation as a church activity, and all of a sudden, having gone through the episodes of life as through this transitional thing of changes coming down through the United States and other government, all of a sudden here we're at the end and fixing to go back to the unveiling of Israel, which means that at this point between Israel coming in and that of the Old Testament is the unveiling or the rent veil or the revealing of the church or the body of Christ itself. That is to say, 483 years if we go back coming up to Calvary, and then the time in between there is to the church ages, in that was the end of the world because the world answers as to the natural. And then from the 483 years over to the coming of the 7 years, which is the tribulation that brings in the last part of that which makes 490 years. That's coming in, then that means in between there is the heavenly episode as to the rent veil between the 483 and the 7. Whereas people are caught up into heaven and heaven is put on display. So that means that what we're doing is a heavenly thing and we are a heavenly people that have been translated into the kingdom of God, and that the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and men are pressing their way into this wonderful kingdom. That's why he said, "You're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. Rejoice ye that are in heaven. We pass from death unto life." That end of the world has come upon them people. And here we are, the heavenly people. And we're waiting for the last part of the earthly episode to come back in as to the last week of Daniel, that is the 7 years.
That is to say, 3.5 years, as in the middle of the week. And we read to you here where the woman flees into the wilderness. We're not going to elaborate on that because we brought it out the other night. That it is from Jerusalem going down by the Dead Sea, going down to Sodom, Gomorrah, and that area, on past there, going down into that area, that you find the Valley of Petra, where it appears that the woman's going to flee to after the child is caught up. Or that is to say, the church going up spiritually, and then the 140 and 4,000 up to Mount Zion here to meet Jesus as the head, returning to the bodily members to represent the whole house of Israel being saved. Well, anyway, we'd have to go on and on and on. We'd just say so many things if we did that. But these things that we're saying biblically, along with a few things that we said as to a present day exposition, that is to say, not so much as Revelation, but those things that are happening that's being published in the paper and being talked about. And then, of course, Revelation, to the extent that we predicted these things and spoke of them as to these being allegoric things, they're the confirmation that would come as to allegorically substantiate what we spiritually had uttered, either prophetically or by prediction. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's stand together. And I kind of hurried through these things tonight, maybe a little too fast, I don't know. But it seems like that I'm forever coming, being late coming, and then we didn't even let the children sing tonight. I figured we'd press on through and maybe let them sing Sunday morning as we sometimes do. Having so many things to do and so many precious to try to get these things done, we need a lot of assistance, a lot of help, a lot of concern. We're asking you to work with us. We solicit your help in the sense of prayer and concern. So whatever you can do to help us, well, we would appreciate you working with us. You know, I like what Peter Marshall said, a great minister, he of his time, as to what he knew, when he made the statement that let me be part of the answer and not part of the problem. You know, a lot of people are just part of the problem. I don't care what you do, they are a problem and they strengthen the hands of Lucifer. They're always part of the problem. They're always in the way. But there are people that are not part of the problem. They make their special effort to be part of the answer, to where they can strengthen the hands of the believer and the things of God to help establish the kingdom of God in the earth. They're part of the answer. This is what we need, is some people that can be part of the answer and not part of the problem. All right, let's sing together, if you will. Let's sing a little chorus or two together. I'm sure you must be kind of tired tonight. Sometimes I can feel the fatigue of the day a little, and especially you that are making such a great effort. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Savior. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep. Can you sing that with me? The altars are open. I've anchored my soul in God's haven, God rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sway, over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe, evermore. So I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee. Every day. So don't turn him are open. If you'd like to come to the altar, let's sing Sweeter Each Day. I like that song, Sweeter Each Day, because truly the more I walk with Jesus, the sweeter it is. Brother Jim and I was coming down the freeway over in the late evening, and Jim was just rejoicing. Every now and then I could tell that Jim might have not known that I knew it, but every now and then he was kind of breaking in his spirit, kind of weeping, like, you know. That's when the Lord is really sweet to you. The Bible said, mark them that sigh. The Bible said at the tomb of Lazarus that Jesus sighed in his spirit. And a lot of times when the Lord was working a miracle, he would just sigh in his spirit. You know, you feel that nearness to God, and you go to pray for somebody and they're sick, and you lay hands on them, and all of a sudden you feel that breaking up of his presence on the inside, and you just sigh. Something says, it's done. Believe. You don't have to worry. I've done it. And just like that, the miracle takes place. To mark them that sigh in the spirit. I can tell Jim was sighing, you know, in his spirit today. And that's so wonderful. That's so beautiful. That's so lovely when you sigh in your spirit. When you're broken, the broken and contrite in spirit. The Bible teaches they that be of such are great valiant in the sight of the Lord, because they are so usable, because they have no resistance in their spirit as to the Holy Spirit just moving right through them and doing the great, wonderful, miraculous things in life that's so needed by the people. So let's sing this little song, can we? Grow sweeter each day. Grow sweeter each day. This love. Grow sweeter along life's way. And all through the garden I can hear my Savior say, this love grows sweeter each day. If you've ever experienced it, you know that that's true. Sing it with me now. Jesus saved.
this love grow sweeter.
Can you sing it one more time now? Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know who Jesus is.
For he is the lily of my valley. And and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know.
Sing that with me.
Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of the valley, and he is the bright morning star. And he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know.
Sing it again now.
Everybody
ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know who Jesus is.
Let's lift our hands up together and close our eyes. We sing that song, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. Let's sing it now with your hands lifted up and your eyes closed. Sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the star. You're much fairer with it blooms by the way. You're more precious,
more precious
than gold. Sing it again now. Oh, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are.
brighter morning's dawn. Much fallow,
much fallow,
and the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious, more precious than gold. I will praise him, I will praise him. Can you praise the Lord? Lord, for sinners and will give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away every stain. Let's sing it again now. So we can you praise him now? Can you lift your hands up and praise him? Lord, for sinners slain, and will give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away. One more time, we'll sing it together. So I will praise him, I will praise him. For sinners slain, we will washed away. Just one more time, sing it with me. And we will praise. While you're praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord, I'm going to ask Brother Raymond McCullough if he'll come up here and dismiss us tonight. While Raymond's coming, let's just praise the Lord. Can we do that? There's nothing better than praising the Lord. The Bible teaches that God is a spirit and he inhabits the praise of his people. If you want to give him a dwelling place, just praise the Lord and he spiritually will become interwoven with your spirit and you'll feel the verbal inspiration of God on your very being. One more time as we sing together. And I will praise.